You're listening to Passive with Property, the podcast that helps everyday Australians build real wealth through strategic property investing. Hosted by Dragan Domofsky and Amanda Calabria. This is your no-nonsense guide to creating passive income, financial freedom, and a future on your terms. In this solo series, Amanda dives deeper into the strategies, insights, and investor mindset that drive real results. No interviews, no noise, just powerful lessons from over two decades of experience, direct to you. Let's get into it.
Hi everyone, Amanda here from Buyers Agency Australia. Before we jump in, a quick reminder, this is not financial advice. Everything I share today is general in nature and designed to educate and empower you to make smarter decisions. Always seek professional advice specific to your financial situation before making any investment moves. Today, we're talking about a concept that most investors think they understand, but very few actually do. Markets within markets. We hear people say things like Sydney is booming, or Brisbane is affordable, or regional Queensland is risky. And while these statements sound tidy, they're wildly oversimplified. Because the truth is, there is no such thing as one singular property market. Every capital city, every region, every council, every suburb, they all contain multiple micro markets, each with their own behaviours, risks, and growth patterns. So let's break it down. Number one, state level. When we talk about the property market by state, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, etc., we're talking in massive generalisations. A state has multiple climates, varying population densities, different lending policies, different state taxes, especially with stamp duty. For example, stamp duty in Victoria is wildly higher than that in Queensland. Different migration patterns. So yes, you can look at state-level indicators like population growth, net migration, major infrastructure spending, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. It tells you where to start looking, not where to buy. Number two, capital city versus regional. Even within a state, capital cities behave differently to regional areas. East coast cities like Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane have higher population density, better infrastructure, more job diversity, greater rental demand consistency. But they also have higher entry prices, lower yields, more regulation and planning overlays. Regionals can offer better yields and affordability, but they're more sensitive to industry cycles, mining, agriculture, tourism, infrastructure delays, population stagnation or decline. So again, it's not about choosing city or regional. It's about understanding the risk versus return trade-off in both and what suits your goals. Number three, LGA, local government area. Now we're getting a bit more focused. We're zooming in now. Number three, LGA, local government area. Now we're getting a bit more focused. We're zooming in now. Each city or region is made up of local government areas, councils, and they matter. Why? Councils control zoning, development approvals, and infrastructure investment. Some councils are proactive, well-funded, and investor-friendly. Others are slow, restrictive, or poorly planned. We look at things like council debt and budget transparency. What's in their strategic plan over the next 5 to 10 years? Their historical performance with infrastructure delivery. You want a council that's investing in livability, not just rezoning farmland into house and land estates. Number four, suburb level. Now we're getting to where most people stop. They pick a suburb, and say, this looks good. But even at suburb level, you're still generalising. Let's say vacancy rates are low, rental demand is high, there is a train station, shops nearby. Good start, right? But what about crime? What about school zones? What about pockets that flood every few years? The suburb is not the final answer. It's just the next layer. What you need to look at is number 5, pockets within the suburb. Every suburb has its premium pockets and its problem zones. Think about where you live. You know the good streets, the streets with renovated homes, wide frontages, tree-lined streets, better school zones, walkable access to transport. You know the streets that back onto industrial land or have housing commission, flood-prone, the ones that sit on a main road with trucks rumbling past, where the traffic bottlenecks, where the gangs of unruly teens hang out, where things get a little messy, and more importantly, where they don't. Investment suburbs are no different. Just because the median price looks good or the yield looks high, it doesn't mean every part of that suburb is a good buy. You need to walk the streets, talk to agents, check flood overlays, know which school catchments are better than others and how this impacts prices. Understand where future development is happening. Number 6, street level detail. This is where great investors separate from good ones. At street level, you want to look at street elevation and slope. Which way does water run? Orientation. North-facing yards are more desirable. Street composition. Owner-occupiers versus renters. Are there units on the same street as houses? Parking, traffic flow, walkability. How wide is the street? Is there street parking? What kind of properties are around you? Overcapitalized builds or knockdowns? Two houses in the same suburb, on the same block size, with the same floor plan, can have vastly different outcomes based on what street they're on and what is around them. So here's the big idea. You're not just investing in a suburb. You're investing in a specific street, in a specific pocket, inside a specific suburb, in a specific LGA, within a specific economic environment. That's the level of nuance required to make smart property decisions. And here's the part most investors miss. You already know all of this information intuitively for the area you live in. Think about your neighbourhood. You know which streets are desirable, which ones are risky, where the nice parks are, where the traffic snarls up, where the noisy neighbours live. But when you invest interstate, you don't have the benefit of that local knowledge. So what can you do about it? You either commit to deep due diligence using tools, data, phone calls, street view, forums, local insight, or you outsource to professionals who already have that hyper-local knowledge. There is absolutely nothing wrong with investing interstate. In fact, it's one of the smartest things to do if that's where the numbers take you. Why limit yourself to your own backyard? But you can't stop at city-level stats and pretty dashboards and cute websites with AI-generated content selling you generic garbage. Drill down, get granular. Understand markets within markets all the way down to the street, because that's where the real value is. That's where the smart money lives. And if you want help navigating those layers, that's what we do. Book a free 15-minute strategy call with our team at the link below. We'll help you see through the suburb averages and get to the streets and pockets that actually deliver long-term results. I'm Amanda from Buyers Agency Australia. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, The magic isn't in the headlines, it's in the street names.